Hi, I'm Bob Tabor with LearnVisualStudio.net. At this point, we are recording audio, and we're saving it as a temp file to our app's isolated storage area. So next, what we need to do is allow the user to say, I want to save that permanently. I want to make that available as one of my tiles in the custom sounds pivot of the mainpage.xaml so that I can use that sound in the future, right? So our game plan in this lesson then is to, first of all, we're going to need to allow the user to save a temporary file permanently. We're going to pop open a little dialog and it will allow them to give us a name, and we're going to save that name into a file somewhere along with the location of the custom sound. So let's break that down into a couple of steps. We've already got an application bar that we've added to our project in a previous lesson. You remember the application bar button that had the little disk icon, right? So now we want to enable that, and we're going to create an event handler. So when somebody clicks on that save button, then we can kick off the save process. We're also going to want to manage the state of the application bar as a whole. I mean, it should only be visible if there's a temporary audio file that's been created and it's ready to be saved permanently. So once somebody clicks on the save application bar button, we want to then open up a dialog and say, give us, you know, the word that you, or the phrase that you want on the title, on the tile of our custom sounds pivot items, right? And so we're going to use the Coding for Fun toolkit once again. It'll allow us to display an input dialog that'll capture the name from the end user of the new custom sound audio file. So now we have a name and we have a location for this file. We're going to need to save those bits of data off so that every time we start the app, we can retrieve those and create the custom sounds tiles. And when somebody clicks on them, we can play the sounds. And so to do that, we're going to use a file format called JSON, JavaScript Object Notation. Talk about that more in a little bit. But then finally, we'll need to modify our data model. Our view models are here. Oh yeah, we're going to modify the sound model's load data method to retrieve that JSON file, parse through its contents, create the appropriate sound data objects to represent each item that we've saved off in our JSON file, so that it then displays the tiles that represent those sounds on the custom sounds pivot item on our mainpage.xaml. Phew, that sounds harder than it really will be, I assure you. Okay, so let's go ahead and get started. First thing we want to do is we're going to work with that application bar button that we created earlier. You can't see it here because we actually created it in our build localized application bar method here. And we turned off this application bar is visible equal false. Let's go ahead and turn that back on because we don't want to show it right away. Instead, what we're going to do is only show it when we have data, when we have a sound that's ready to be saved permanently. First of all, though, we want to only display our localized application bar, so this app bar, we only want to display it once the record audio toggle button is unchecked. So here we'll go application bar dot is visible equals true. Okay, equals true. All right, there we go. Okay, so let's go back to this here, and what we want to do is pop open a input prompt. So a little dialogue on the phone that will allow the user to type in the name of this sound. So let's go input prompt file name equals new input prompt. And I'm going to want to add a using statement, and it is codingforfun.toolkit.controls. All right, and so the next thing that we're going to want to do now is to give that input prompt a title, sound name, and we'll give it a message to display. What should we call the sound? Then we'll add an event handler to the completed event of the dialogue. So when the user finishes typing in the name for the file, for the sound, and they click the little check mark on the dialogue, then this event handler, file name completed, will be executed. Completed. There we go. And then finally, what we're going to do is go ahead and show the dialogue. So what we're going to want to do here is we're going to want to make sure that the input prompt was exited properly by the user by checking the result. So we're going to check the pop-up result that was sent into this event handler as an input parameter. If the result is okay, then we can perform the logic necessary to save the temporary file as a new permanent file. So let's take a look at this and let's write that code. So if the pop-up result is pop-up result.ok, then we're going to need to do a bunch of stuff. For example, here, let's make a list of to-do items here. We're going to create a sound data object so that we can add it to our collection of sound data objects for the custom sounds sound group. Next, we're going to want to save the WAV file into the directory. We're going to put it all the permanent ones into a subdirectory called custom audio. And then we're going to add the sound data object to the app.viewmodel.customsounds sound group. Then we're going to save the list of custom sounds to isolated storage. And we're going to use something new called application settings. This is really neat. It's basically just like any other isolated storage file that we created, like the WAV file, except it's specifically used for name value pairs, things that we want to save, just data. And there's a lot less overhead to doing this than writing a file every time. We can just say application settings, give it a new name, set it to a value, and then we can retrieve it out very easily. You'll see how easy this is in just a minute. And then we're going to need to modify our sound model to retrieve custom sounds from isolated storage application settings. And then the final thing we're going to want to do is navigate back out to the main page. We know how to do that already, so let's go ahead and do that. Navigate, navigationservice.navigate. And so we'll give it a new URI, and give it a URI kind, relative or absolute, we'll let you figure it out. And here we're going to go to mainpage.xaml. Great. All right, so let's see what we have so far. Let's go ahead and run the app. Let's fix any problems that we have with our code, like so. That's from the previous lesson. Let's go ahead and run the app. And this is from the previous lesson, too. Looks like we should have tried to compile it before. All right, there we go. All right, so let's try to record. Now notice there's no app bar. I'll click record. This is just a test to make sure this works. Notice that the play button has been disabled. When I click the record button again, the play button is enabled, and notice that the app bar comes up. I can play the sound, but I'm just gonna go ahead and click the save button, and it's gonna ask what the name of the sound should be. I'm just gonna type in, let's go page down. This is just a test, and click the OK button, and now we're back to our mainpage.xaml. All right, so generally the flow is working. Now we just need to fill in all of the or take care of all these to-do tasks that we outline in the code comments, all right? So at this point, we have a custom sound that's recorded and stored as a temporary file, and we've just collected a friendly display name for that sound using the input prompt. So now we want to accomplish two basic tasks. First of all, we want to add the custom sound to our data model. If information about our new custom sound is never added to the data model, then we'll never be able to render it to the custom sounds view on our main page.xaml, right? So we're going to create a new instance of the sound data class, and we're going to fill in the file path and the title properties appropriately. And then the second task that we're going to need to do is to move that file from its temporary location to a permanent subfolder called custom audio, like I've outlined here. This is purely to keep all of our custom sound files organized in one place. So what I want to do in our file name completed event handler is, first of all, we're going to create a sound data object. So sound data. And we don't have that namespace added yet, so let's go ahead and add that. Soundboard.viewmodels, great. Sound data equals new sound data. And sound data.filepath equals, and what we'll want to do is we're going to take this tack like we did previously in another lesson. And we're going to use the datetime.now.toFileTime method once again. And so this time we're going to put this in the custom audio folder. And we're going to name it like that. All right. And so then we're going to also want to give this sound data a title. And that will be whatever the result was from the pop-up, from the input, prompt from earlier that's passed in here. All right, and so we'll get to the result, whatever was typed in by the end user, and we'll put that into the title property of the sound data object. Great. All right, so the next thing we're going to want to do then is save that WAV file into the directory custom audio. So let's do that now. Again, when I'm working with a managed class that works with unmanaged resources, I'm going to want to use the using statement. All right, so let's go ahead and set that up. So we're going to do a using isolated storage file, again, isostore equals isolated storage file dot get user store for application. All right, and then inside of that, if isostore directory exists, if it doesn't exist, custom audio, then we're going to create it. So isostore.create directory, create directory. Custom audio, great. And then we're going to isostore.movefile. We're going to take the temp file name, so what it was previously called, and we're going to move it to the sounddata.filepath. All right, hopefully that makes sense. If the directory in our isolated storage area doesn't exist, go ahead and create it. And then we're going to move the temporary file name that was created when we were saving the temp audio. And we're going to move it to this new place, the new file path, which is essentially the name that's constructed using the to file time of our date time object. And we're going to put it in that folder that we just created here, or if it doesn't already exist. All right. So then the next step is to add the sound data to the app view model custom sounds. All right, that's easy. So app.viewModel.customSounds.items.add and sound data. Perfect. Great. So this should work right now. Let's go ahead and run it just to make sure. This is another test just to make sure this works. Save it. First test. Whoops. Looks like it's not. Ah, okay. Problem here is that custom sounds has not been created. I know how to remedy that pretty quickly. Let's go to the sound model class. So when we were doing all this work here, we never created a new sound group for custom sounds. So let's go ahead and create that now. And we'll get rid of this later, but this should work for now. Okay, so let's try it this time. Okay. This is just a test to make sure this works. Save it. Second test. Okay. And now, if we're lucky... hey, look at there. Second test. Now, we have some problems here. Obviously, we don't have the correct name for this pivot item because, well... we are taking a shortcut here. I probably should have created one of these helper methods for it, and we're going to get to that in just a minute. But I think the bigger issue here is what's going to happen when we close the application and it's completely removed from the phone's memory. When that happens, the custom sounds items collection is going to be removed from memory, and the next time the app is run, it'll no longer have the memory of our custom sound. So we need a way to store custom sounds data so that we can load it into our data model the next time that the user runs our app. So to do this, we need to serialize our custom sounds items, so these custom sounds items right here, into a data format. And there are many data formats that we could choose, but we're going to pick a very popular, lightweight, easy to use format called JSON. It's short for the JavaScript Object Notation. It allows us to easily represent our collection as JavaScript objects. Now, if we utilize a third-party open source library called JSON.net, we won't even have to think about the data's format at all. And much of that complexity will be completely hidden behind simple method calls. So that sounds great to me. So to begin, what we're going to do is open up the NuGet Package Manager using the technique that I demonstrated earlier. I'm going to right-click References and select Manage NuGet Packages. And this time in the search, I'm going to look for JSON.net. And it'll be one of the first options at the very top. I'm going to click Install. And after a few moments, it'll be added to our project. You can see the little check that this package has already been installed. That's good. We'll click the close button. And now if we take a look in our references folder, we can see that we do have newtonsoft.json. Great. So we are ready to go. So back here in this file name completed method event handler, what we want to do is convert the custom sounds items to JSON and then store it to disk. So we're going to use the newtonsoft.json.json convert class to perform the conversion. So let's go here and start with var data equals JSON convert. All right, and let's go ahead and hover over and select using newtonsoft.json. Great. And now what we're going to do is go serialize object. And we're going to pass in the app.viewModel.customSounds. So this will take a collection and serialize it down to JSON format. And now we have the data, all the items, all of the sound data objects that belong to the sound group called custom sounds in a JavaScript object notation format. Great. So the next thing that we need to do then is actually save that collection, that JSON file or data to disk. And so this is where we're going to go isolated storage settings dot application settings, and we're going to index into it something called we'll call this custom sound key, and we'll get back to that in just a moment, equals data. And then isolated storage settings dot application settings dot save, and that will save our data to disk. So we basically just came up with a key called custom sound key, and now we can retrieve our custom sound key, what it's associated, all that JSON data, and now it'll be saved to our isolated storage in a little container that will hold name value pairs. The name will be custom sound key, and the pair or the value will be the data, the JSON data. Okay. All right. So let's do this. I don't like to use magic strings like this. I just did it for illustration's sake. Let's go ahead and remove that from there, and instead we're going to go to our sound model, and we're going to create a new public property, actually a public const string custom sound key equals custom sound. And a constant is basically just a string that we don't intend to ever change the value of, and that'll just enforce that to make sure that the value's never changed. And we want consistency across our entire app, so that's why we'll create it as a constant and use it as a property of this class. So back here in our recordaudio.xaml.cs, we're going to go soundmodel.customSoundKey. All right, beautiful. And that will enable us to set, and then we can retrieve using that same key, okay? Okay, so we're saving our list of custom sounds to isolated storage. Now we need to retrieve them every time that we load data. So let's go back to our soundmodel.cs, and here where we do all of this work, what we want to do is reset this. Custom sounds equals load custom sounds. And we'll create a new helper method for that purpose. So let's right click it and select generate method stub. Great. And then inside of here, let's go ahead and retrieve that data from isolated storage settings into our custom sound group. Okay, so here we go. So we know we're going to need a sound group, and what we're going to do is if isolated storage settings, let's go ahead and add that using statement so we get the benefit of IntelliSense here, dot application settings dot try get value, and so we'll use that custom sound key that we created just a moment ago. If it actually has anything in it, then we want to retrieve it out, so we'll retrieve it into a new variable. I'll call this a variable data from app settings. So let's go ahead and create that. So string data from app settings. Okay. So if we're able to retrieve that out successfully, it'll not only be stored here, but will also then perform whatever's inside of this code block. So then if we're able to retrieve it out, then we're going to go data.jsonconvert. So again, we're going to have to add a using statement for newtonsoft.json. JSON.convert, deserialize object. Okay, last time we serialized it, this time we're deserializing it. And we're going to use one of the versions of deserialize that allows us to pass in or tell it what type we expect to deserialize this information into. In this case, we would expect it to be deserialized into a sound group. And we'll pass in the data that we retrieve from the isolated storage settings. In this case, that is data from app settings. Okay. All right, so if we were able to successfully find that value, custom sound key, we'll be able to get the data out, the JSON data out, and then we'll deserialize that JSON into some data. But what if it doesn't exist? Then we'll just need to set data equal to new sound group. It'll be empty. And we'll give the data title equals mine. Okay. And return data. I could have called this custom sounds. The idea here is that we want to set up the title for this sound group, and we'll do it the very first time that the user uses our app, and then from that point on it'll be serialized and retrievable through here, right? So, okay, let's go ahead and see where we're at so far. I'm going to rerun the app and try this whole process. So here we go. Here's another test. I'm going to save it. Call this third test. All right, and now let's go over to mine. And there it is. Now let's try to hear third test play. Uh-oh, it doesn't play. All right, that's because we need to modify the playback code on the mainpage.xaml to load custom sounds from the new folder. Currently, it's only loading sounds from the assets folder. So let's go here to our mainpage.xaml.cs. And so the goal is to set the media element source property with the correct location of the sound file associated with the tile that our user tapped. And we'll look in one of two places, either in the assets folder or in the isolated storage area. So in the mainpage.xaml.cs, in the long list selector underscore selection change event handler method, we'll want to add the following right here, where we're currently setting the source for the audio player. We're going to need to add two possibilities. If the file exists, so here we go, if file, and we're going to need using system.io, so if file.exists, so we're going to look on isolated storage and see if it exists, data.filepath, then we'll set the audio player. We'll basically just take this line of code right here. Okay, so that's the case that we currently have working now. But what we want to say is, if we can't find it in the assets folder, all right, then what we need to do is look in a different spot. So using var storage folder equals isolated storage file dot get user store for application. Okay, and let's make sure we get the correct using statement here. Great. Then we'll want to add another using statement. So and get the stream equals new isolated storage file stream, data.filepath, file mode open, and then we'll give it the storage folder. And then finally, we should have what we need, audioplayer.setSource, and we'll give it the stream. Great. All right, this is going to require a little explanation here, what I did. So the purpose of this if statement is really to see if the tile that's been selected by the user is a custom sound or not. So if we can't locate the file name associated with the tile in the assets folder, then we're going to need to look for it in the custom sound subfolder in the app's isolated storage area. Okay, so in this case, remember, the file wasn't found in the assets folder, so we're going to search for it in our isolated storage. So we create a reference to the isolated storage for our app, and here we get access to the file using a new technique. We're opening the custom sound as a stream, and basically, or in other words, an isolated storage file stream. This is basically the antithesis of what we did earlier when we wrote from a memory stream into a file stream. Now we're pulling out from a file stream into a memory stream, okay? So essentially, just think of this as the exact same thing of what we talked about before with regards to buffers. It's just there so that we can retrieve data out that's coming out at one speed so that we can process it at a different speed. That's all it's there for. And every time you work with file systems or networks or things of that nature, you're going to work with some sort of buffer, and that's all we're doing right here. Okay? And so here then we set the source of the audio player to this stream, this file stream that we have specified by the file path. We're saying open it up and it should be located in this folder. Which folder? The isolated storage folder of our device for this app. Okay, let's go ahead and rerun the app. All right, and so this time, whenever we record the audio, this is just a recording once again, and we go to save it. Was this the fifth try? I lost count. And click the OK button. Now when we go to the mine, fifth try is there, and it should play. Record the audio. This is just a recording.
And it does play.
Awesome. Again. Okay. Ah, boy, so we did a lot of work here. To recap, the big takeaways from this lesson were serializing and deserializing objects into JSON using the Newtonsoft JSON library, which is a very valuable skill that transcends phone development. We also learned how to work with isolated storage, particularly the isolated storage settings to store name value pairs. We use the system.io.file class to examine the file system and determine whether the file was where we expected was or not. If it wasn't, then we learned about working with streams, file streams, which are just another type of buffer. We also used the input prompt from the Coding for Fun toolkit, and we did a bunch of other things as well. All right, the good news is that we're almost done with this. We're just going to need to add one last touch to make the app fun to use, and we'll do that in the next lesson. We'll see you there. Thank you. Thank you.